the Good News Station.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
I'm not gonna do something that's gonna be an affront right now to John Kasich. Wow. He's a good governor of Ohio and he's running and it's up to him.
GOP Chairman Reince Priebus speaking about John Kasich and his third place showing in yesterday's Wisconsin primary. Both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump want Kasich to drop out of the race, but Kasich says a new poll shows he's the only candidate who could beat a Democrat in the general election. Priebus says Kasich can do what he wants, but what he will confirm is an outsider will not sweep into the convention to grab the nomination.
I believe the candidate, our nominee is going to be someone running. And as far as this Paul Ryan talk, let me just say it again for the 10th time. Number one, he's not running. Number two, he doesn't want to.
Donald Trump is expected to win the next GOP primary, which is in New York State in about 2 weeks. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security with its 5-year warranty can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security with its 5-year warranty is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. The constitutionality of the Bladensburg, Maryland World War I Veterans Memorial has been questioned by the American Humanist Association. Christian attorneys like Roger Byron filed a brief with the American Legion with the U.S. Court of Appeals, reminding them the cross is an internationally recognized symbol honoring men who gave their lives.
The cross, or a cross symbol, in the context of a veterans memorial, is an internationally recognized symbol. It's such a recognizable symbol for World War I fallen, in fact, that within 40 miles of the Bladensburg Memorial are at least four other cross-shaped World War I memorials.
This memorial brings honor to the memory of 49 local men who lost their lives.
It's the largest veterans memorial or the largest veterans association in the United States in 1925, specifically to honor 49 men from the local area. Their names are on a large, it's 9-foot by 2.5-foot plaque at the base of this memorial.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded women's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Institutional. The Republican governor's decision comes as Tennessee is taking steps toward making the Bible the official state book. That state's governor has expressed his opposition but hasn't made clear whether he plans to veto that legislation.
We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street.
Country music legend Merle Haggard is dead. Right. He passed away today on his 79th birthday. Haggard was recently treated for pneumonia. He was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1994. 3 years later, he was inducted into the Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame. The music legend is best known for songs including Okie from Muskogee and Fight Inside of Me. Haggard won a slew of awards over his career, including a Kennedy Center Honor and a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. Reaction to the death was swift, with White House spokesman Josh Earnest calling Haggard a country music legend who will be missed by millions of fans. This is USA Radio News.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
The following program was pre-recorded at an earlier time.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
We got Vince Rizzino, CPA extraordinaire, because he's also Mr. Forensic CPA here today, and he's taking a break.
Yes, I am. I needed a break, Joe.
This is the time of year where you know.
But you know, I'll pay for it later.
I know you will, because you won't be.
I have to do the work.
You're drinking coffee, right?
Absolutely. Till tonight.
Plus, what else? Plus, what is that? Red Bull?
No, I don't take Red Bull.
You know, caffeine.
I get enough Bull during a day.
1-888. Okay, class. This is important now. This is important. Write this down. If you're not in a car, write this down. If you're in the car, ignore it. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Now, that's toll free from any place where you can hear this. And if you can't hear this, you can go to WCNO.
If they can't hear this, Joe,
you better, if you can't
anywhere.
Hear this, turn off the radio and go turn the TV on, and you won't see us.
If you can't hear this, go to WCNO.
If you can't hear this, read my lips.
This is not
tough.
Television.
This is tough
is
on
radio.
The radio. WCNO.com.
You've had a long day, I see.
It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Are you going out tonight?
I don't know. I wasn't invited.
Bonos.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Mitch and Peggy and Barb and I. And,
oh, nice.
And your bride
Thank
is still
you.
Over playing.
My bride is still with my grandson.
See, what happened is he's got his only grandson. So his wife left him. Now, he had
Best
to pay
thing
her
ever
$100 a month not to come back. But no, I'm kidding.
No, she's having a grand time over there.
This
with the
girl
grandbaby.
Is the consummate grandma. She's been waiting for so long to be a grandma.
Yep.
And then their daughter and son-in-law hit a home run because grandma's willing to take this kid anytime they want, any place, anytime. And, you know, I'm ready to have another baby because I'm gonna name your wife the grandma. I know you. I don't want you as a grandpa, but she is.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's
like that vote of confidence.
I know, no problem. Well, you have to work to support all this stuff.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Minor little side effect.
Yeah, but it's all pleasure, you know? It's all love. Hey, it's out of love.
888-221-8990. Team Martech started doing radio shows prior to 2004, and the concept was very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker, a securities principal, lots of licenses, and I do investments, period. Then, in my opinion, if you are a credible professional, you obviously don't know everything. So normally, credible professionals align themselves with other credible professionals so that they can better service their clients. So when you've got clients all over Florida and then in 13 other states, questions come up that you don't know the answer to. So one of the people that was critical to this group happens to be here, and it's not past your time. You're not actually. You're not very important to this group, except without you.
I'll be in the other room. I'll see you in a little. Yeah,
thank you so much. You know,
hey, listen. Don't chase him away. He's very critical to this operation.
He pushes buttons and slides things, and modulates.
It's how you do it.
No, I don't modulate.
You don't modulate. No. So Vince Rizzino, CPA. What is it? Probably once a week. Wouldn't you say I call you with a question that a client comes
pretty
up
much.
With?
It depends on during season, about once a week.
Yeah, and it seems like, and I've only been doing this 20-some years, and you think you would learn something after 20.
Well, you do, actually. You never give me an easy question.
Well, that's the job. Because
Every time you give me one, I got to go research it.
Easy ones, I know the answer to. It's all hard ones that I don't.
Some of the hard ones I remember, but a lot of them, you know, the laws change so rapidly and dramatically, Joe, that it's hard to remember all the changes. Well, so I have to go research on many of those items.
Well, just so you understand, folks, I mean, the tax code is relatively simple, and I expect Vince to have memorized 70,000 pages. Just 70. And then in order to simplify it every year, they amend a bunch of these 70,000 pages to make it easier.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
this add a dozen more pages.
Oh, I think if they didn't subtract or add one page, the part is they amend, they change the wording, and they change, you know, like what Social Security was just changed.
Yep.
And they kind of slipped that in underneath things.
They slipped it in, and they knocked out a big benefit that's
big benefit to a lot of people.
To a lot of people who will no longer be eligible for this little
April
window.
30th April 30th is the cutoff.
But we have hope next year it may come back.
I don't know.
We do have hope, and hope springs eternal.
Now, but here is the interesting thing. It seems as though, now you tell me, when they amend the tax code,
right?
When I say they,
yeah,
who is they?
They is the Congress of the United States.
They have to vote on this.
Yes, sir.
Now, does it become something that has to be signed by the president, or does the Congress get to do it by themselves?
No. It's got to be signed. Ultimately, the law has to be signed by the president. But there's also, it's just not just the law, it's all the regulations and interpretations of the law
that
make all the difference. That's the devil in the details.
Okay, so anyway, we have other members. Uh-oh, here comes Connie. Connie has a phone call for
Hello,
Tom.
Hello, Connie.
No, she's got something for Tom. Oh, yeah.
Got a visitor in there.
A visitor. Ooh. Yay, okay. I like visitors sometimes.
It depends on who they are.
Yeah, did I tell you, my girl Nikki, who you know very well, have you been hacked on your credit cards or anything ever?
Yes, recently.
Nikki just had it yesterday and the day before. They got a hold of her driver's license, social security number. They opened 8 or 10 accounts. Wow. They got big $10,000, $15,000 limits. They used every dime of it. She's had to call because the police get involved in this if it's over 10 grand, and she's been over 10 grand on two cards already.
Wow.
But I mean, she keeps getting new ones in the mail now every day this week.
That's terrible.
They really nailed her.
Yep. Now, I was lucky. I caught it, and the credit card company called me.
Yeah.
And said, in fact, it happened to be legitimate on one. The other one wasn't. I was up in New York on business, and I had charged some gas at one of the stations. And they apparently thought it was a fraud. So they called me and said, hey, did you charge for gasoline in New York? I said, yes. But then something else came through in Georgia and North Carolina.
Yeah, different states.
Different states, a few $100s. They didn't get much.
I bought gas in Fort Pierce. And within an hour, I also bought gas in Brooklyn, New York.
Ah, and you're a quick driver.
I know. And a credit card company called me up. What they did was I went to use it again. And it got it declined. So I got on the phone and called them, and they said, well, we declined it because we think there was fraud. And I said, why would you think that? Well, we showed you had a charge in Fort Pearson, and an hour later you had 15 charges in Brooklyn. And I said, it's kind of a clue because I don't care how fast my jet is. I don't know that it's that fast.
Nah.
Anyway, so she got hacked. Folks, just one of the things that Team Martech does, we have a CPA. We have an attorney, we have an independent insurance agent, we have a realtor, we have a mortgage broker. We try to cover most of the areas that can help people with a lot of different walks of life. And every one of these people in this group are not new in business. And I'm talking all the way some since 1980, Vince since 1903. At least you look like
1903. My grandfather wasn't even here then.
I know. I'm just going to, I was just aging you a bit. You look, in tax season, you look old.
I do. I feel old during tax season.
Anyway, guess what? We've got somebody who wants us. We will take a call.
All right.
Caller, it's Joe Martech. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. I think one of you might have commented about someone at one time, whether it was a pastor on the radio, but
that's Pastor Tom sitting over here.
The voice of someone that can, you could just listen to him read a phone book. But anyway, I get that from all of you guys too. You've got great voices.
Well, thank you so much. That wasn't Pastor Tom, because his voice is terrible.
I have been not on purpose. Well, okay, maybe it's been on purpose, but I I haven't been able to file my taxes. My last attempt was 2012, and I did it. I was doing it through TurboTax, and it was going to cost me $100 to get it finished, you know, whatever, however all that works, but at the time. But I am.
So you basically, you missed a few years.
Pray for me. Pray. I don't. Y'all go ahead and have your words about it, but I know somebody has to be looking at that I've.
Here's what's going to happen to you. At some point, the infernal is going to catch up with you, and they're going to be upset.
Right.
And when they're upset, they may. Are you old enough to have Social Security yet?
I just turned 55.
Okay, never mind.
I hang up and listen to you?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to talk about this. And by the way, after you hang up, if you have any questions on this, you call back the station and say, "Don't put me on the radio. But put me through to Vince Rosino, CPA, because we're going to help you with this, okay?" And you're not the first person that we've had this problem with, so we'll just give you some stories, and we're going to spend some time on this. Thanks so much for calling. And we will help.
Yes, thank you, caller.
Okay, bye.
So that's a problem.
Let's just talk about what's going to happen. And you have a better... You and I both have actual first hands-on experience with this stuff.
Yeah.
But let's talk about you doing it much more often than I do.
Well, Joel, it's very, very funny. I had a case about 2 months ago where somebody hadn't filed a tax return in 10 years.
10 years. Okay.
And they owed a lot of money.
Yep.
Owed a ton of money. Why? Because they had signed a waiver many, many years ago that gave the IRS permission to go after them for 30 years.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. Very nice. It was in conjunction with an installment agreement.
Okay.
Well, they stopped paying the installment agreement and then disappeared off the face of the earth.
Right.
Lived up north for a while, then moved to Florida. Apparently, the IRS never was able to find him, so they kind of laid low for a while. Well, he decided last year that he didn't want this looking over his shoulder all the time, so he came to me to file back tax returns for him. So we filed the tax returns. As it turns out, he had refunds coming.
Yep, right.
So that was good news, and you can go back. You can go back 3 years to get those.
You can go back 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
not 10 years.
No, not the 10.
But he hadn't filed for 10.
He hadn't filed. So now technically, depending on the circumstances, they could go after you for potentially, because the statute doesn't run until you file a tax return. So if you don't never file a tax return, that statute's not running. So they could go after you for back
forever.
Taxes, forever.
Okay.
Forever.
So anyway,
here what happened with this guy is we filed the tax return, and they unfortunately it woke up a sleeping giant. Because now they knew where he was.
Yep. Yeah.
And so then he started getting harassing letters and pay me all this money you owe
me
from 25 years ago.
Right.
Well, we wound up actually engaging a tax lawyer with this case because we think it's going to go to tax court. But there's a lot of money involved. You're talking several hundred thousands of dollars here. So, but the thing is with this, most people, if they don't file, they're cheating themselves.
More times
than not, I've found that the people who haven't filed their taxes, I got a refund coming.
Well, let's talk about specifically. This fellow that called in hasn't filed since 12. Okay, so what happens is this. Quite honestly, the Infernal Revenue is not out here to cut your legs off. They want to collect the money, but the bottom line is they're going to look and say at your ability to pay.
Right.
And they're going to work with you. And I have had it's hard to imagine good experiences with the Internal Revenue, but in the last couple of years, I've had good experiences with the Internal Revenue, good experience with the Social Security Administration. It just seems that our new government employees have a good attitude these days at being helpful rather than harassing.
Well, you know, Joe, you're right about that. They do. I think the impression of them is not a good one when it comes to...
Yeah, of course.
Ultimately, they want to collect the
who
money.
Who would you rather go see, the dentist
or the
CPA
IRS?
Or the
IRS, yeah.
I mean, all three are
pull
bad.
My teeth.
Pull my teeth, that's easy.
But here's the point, that they want to negotiate with you, and it is on the ability to pay.
Of course.
And you have a couple of options available to you. You can go on what's a gold installment agreement,
yep.
which means
yep.
you could pay it out over time. Sometimes they'll give you 2, 3, 4 years to pay a debt off.
Sometimes longer.
Or you can do, if you have nothing, and you're not earning, or you're disabled or something like this, you can file an offer in compromise.
Yeah.
Now, what's an offer in compromise? Basically, what it sounds is what it is. You make them an offer based
right.
on your experience and your financial ability.
I mean, literally.
And
let's
you say,
hey,
this is my number. I owe you $100,000, I owe you. I'll give you $5,000 now.
Yeah.
and we call it quits.
That's it. And sometimes they'll look at exactly, because you're going to sign an affidavit. They're going to want you, hey, if you don't have money, you don't have income, you're disabled,
you have no assets, and
you're really in trouble. They can't get blood out of a turnip, and they're not trying to put you into an early grave. So that's just one scenario.
Who now, makes that determination of how much you have to pay if they reach a settlement? Is that done on the local level, or is it
Who makes that determination?
Yeah, who makes that determination?
It's usually, it depends. You can work that out with the collections division of IRS, but many times if you have any technical issues at all, you'll never get through to the people in collections because they're there to collect money. They're not to argue case with you, whether you have legitimate deductions or whether you had good reasons not to file or anything else. That's not what they're there for. They're there to collect.
So this fellow that called, who's he got to get a hold of?
No,
he's just got to file his returns. He's not going to get a hold of anybody until they're going to contact him.
Here's what's going to happen. If he doesn't file, at some point they will probably find him and they will be upset because they think he's purposely not filing, which is probably true, which is okay. So now he's going to have to go back and file back tax returns since the time he didn't. And let's say he ends up owing $25,000, $50,000. Let's just take a number that he owes. He's going to send that in, and then they're going to contact him and say, we want the money. Then he's going to have to sit with them and fill out forms and stuff and say, here's what I can afford or what I cannot afford. And if it's not palatable, now Vince gets involved with this on a regular basis. I get involved on an irregular basis. But the key is this. What you have to do is to go in with an attitude of not lying, not cheating, being transparent, say, I'm here to do the right thing. And I will tell you, the infernal people, excuse me, I hate to use, I'm so used to say infernal revenue rather than internal revenue. These people's job is to put this case behind them and get it taken care of.
Get it resolved. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, let's say that they come up and said, okay, fine, you owe $50,000, $100,000, pick a number, and you can afford $450 a month. That's what they're going to settle for, and you may be paying for the rest of your life.
But the question is, how do they come up to the $450 a month?
There's
a formulation on that based on your assets, based on the income that you earn.
Exactly.
And they'll come up with, they give you, national averages of living expenses, basically.
If you want to get even more detailed, you literally can write every single homeowner's expense, and how much your food is, how much your utilities. What do you have left at the end of the month? And if you've got nothing, then you're going to keep on working on this thing until you get it done. There's all kinds of people that you come up on the radio says, hey, we can settle for 10 cents on a dollar. It's not necessarily true or not true. But
I saw an ad this morning on television. The fellow was on there saying there's a program that the IRS has now to help you if you're behind and all of this.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
it's through this particular company.
It's called a fresh start.
The IRS has always had a program or another one. In other words, this is not something that's new. They may change the name of it, but literally what they're trying to do is to get a person that owes a large sum of money to get them to pay on a regular basis to whittle away at that sum of money. And then, as Vince was saying, offer and settlement means, okay, this person owes $100,000, but they're now on disability. They just don't have the income. So maybe the government will say, fine, we'll settle for one check for $5,000 and walk away. Now, you can go through an agency, a company, or you can go through a CPA, or you can go and do it yourself. Now, not everybody is, I shouldn't say the word capable, but the intimidation factor of the IRS makes it difficult for the average person to walk in the door and do this on their own.
Well, so it's like going to court without representation.
Exactly. So literally, the first step would be to file taxes. Then get counseled by somebody like Vince, a CPA, who would say, okay, fine, here's your situation. He will interject for them. He will be your partner, in effect, with this, working with the IRS. And let's get it resolved. And it will get resolved. Now, one that Vince was talking about earlier, a fellow that owned a lot and he had a lot of years, it became a situation so complicated that it became a situation that it took a tax attorney who has precedence in court cases to go back to the IRS to get them to settle. Because, hey, the people at the IRS, this is their job to settle. But it's also their job to do the best they can collecting. And if they don't collect, they're not going to have a job.
It also depends on the case, Joe, because it depends on the complexity. Because the CPA, I could take them to appeals, which right. is the intermediate step, as long as there aren't any highly technical issues. Because the only thing after appeal stage is tax court.
Yep, yep.
Now, once you go into tax court, then you need a tax attorney to represent you.
Oh, for sure.
So sometimes I may just interject an attorney in there if I think that that's the direction it's heading.
Well, if you have somebody like this who owes back taxes, this individual knows he hasn't filed, he has taxes perhaps he owes, he may have refunds coming. I know a lot of people that have been in a situation like that. They think, well, I've got away with it so far, I can get away with it next year, and maybe I'll put this off for a couple of years until I can better afford to take care of it. Is there any advantage to waiting?
No, I don't see any advantage.
Because there's going to be penalties.
Because
and
you'll
interest.
Have interest and penalties accumulating.
In order to get those mitigated, you have to go in and negotiate, and you have to prove. Well, let's just say you got $1 million.
You want to get it done as quickly as
if
possible.
If you got $1 million sitting in the bank and you say, hey, I can't afford to pay you, they're going to say, okay, that's a lie, that's fraud. They get upset. So what you have to do is kind of prove.
Well, wouldn't they know if someone hadn't filed for a number of years and they had $1 million in the bank, wouldn't they know that?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, well, if they got 1099 interest or dividend statements, I think they could piece it all
they
together.
They can go back. Yeah. They can go back.
Yes, and I think they would figure that out.
And they
yes.
can attach.
Yes.
But you have to understand, this is a monster organization. Complexity is unreal, and there's 200 and 300 and some odd million people in America, X number of tax returns. It's not that simple. So literally, anybody that you and I, Vince, met, if this fellow was sitting right here today, I'd say, okay, first step is to file.
Right.
You can call the radio station back, and they'll give you Vince's phone number. Vince can counsel you on the phone. He's not going to charge you a nickel to talk to you on the phone. It actually might be smart for you to meet with somebody like Vince or Vince after April 15th because, hey, it isn't going to make any difference now for 2 weeks.
No.
This
if
is one of those.
If you haven't filed in 5 years, 2 weeks is not going to matter.
Two weeks is not. So literally, once you have filed and sent that in, you open up the door, and somebody like Vince will help open the door honorably with the Internal Revenue.
But aren't there flags? I mean, if you're filing this year and next year you don't file, doesn't that flag
the IRS?
Yes,
there are flags. Yes, sir. In fact, that's usually the first flag is when you haven't filed a return, you'll get a letter that says, we noticed you haven't filed your tax return
and
for 2014.
Well, especially if there's 1099 copies that show income that go to the government or W-2, mm-hmm. that, you know, they'll come back and say, hey, you didn't file. You owe us X, you know, because we know you had this income. And they will calculate base deductions and come back up and say, whoop, this is it. However, technically, if certain people are not forced to file, if they're below a certain threshold of income, usually retirees that are living on Social Security or a small pension, they have certain exemptions for certain people that literally do not have to file.
Exactly.
But that's a small, small minority. Yeah. Like, usually it's pastors. You know, they don't get paid any money.
If you have any questions.
If we have questions, Tom was pointing at the wall. He can't read that far because he's getting old.
I was directing you to
want you
look
to give
at the wall.
Phone number out.
You need my glasses?
Thank you so much. I need good eyes. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, let me just tell you, folks, this is something that we run against regularly. And I have watched people get sick to their stomach, because the fear
of the IRS. Well, see, that was the other point I wanted to mention, Joe, is sometimes if they don't file 1 year and then they don't file a second year, then all of a sudden they panic.
Yeah.
They don't want to file at all
now
because they're afraid. What are they going to do to me when I finally file?
No, so now you have to live with that every single day, waiting for the sledgehammer to fall, and don't do it. I mean, literally. The Internal Revenue is not, first of all, it is against the law not to file. If you owe money, it is against the law not to file. And they can criminally prosecute you for that. But
that's rare.
For fraud where you are a money launderer or a drug dealer or something and you're trying to hide. But if you're just like a normal person.
They're not looking to put you in jail, Jeff.
Got another call.
Hey, caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, I have a question for you that I hope you can help me out with.
You got it. Do it.
All right. So here, I'm a single person. I don't really have any deductions in terms of a house or anything like that. So basically, my salary is approximately $80,000 a year. So I'm paying a lot in taxes. My question is, my current employer offers a matching 401k, which I've been maxing out every year.
Smart.
So my second question is, if I increase my biweekly deduction, would that lower my tax rate?
Of course.
So at the end of the year, I'm not paying the government.
The answer is absolutely. Now, Vince, in a 401k, him making $80,000 a year, they're matching 3%, 2%, 5%, some number like that?
3%.
Okay, so 3%. You put in three, they put in three, you now made 100% on that money, which is the smartest thing in the world. Do you know what the max you can contribute to the 401k?
That I'm not 100% sure.
Depends on your age.
How old are you?
Yeah, at 55 years old.
At 55, you could put up to 23,000 in the 401k.
So what I would do if I were you, I would put the whole 23,000 in if you don't need the money to live on. That way it's tax deferred. You're not paying any tax on that money. That would lower your taxable income down to $57,000 a year, which your taxable amount is going to be one considerable amount less than you've been paying. Then when you turn 59 and one half, you can start taking money out of that account, but you would be subject to ordinary income tax. And when you're 70 and one half, if you're not dead, you now, I know it's kind of a clue, you have to stay alive. If you're 70 and one half, you have to start taking what they call a required minimum distribution every year. But normally by that time, either you're wealthy or retired, but in either case, your tax structure will be considerably different.
Okay. Yeah, because right now I'm just paying a lot of money in taxes.
I'm telling you, put 23%, Vince, I mean,
yeah, the 23,000. The key caller is this: can you afford the cash flow? Because yes, you can put 23,000 into the plan. So it costs you 23 in cash flow. You're only getting back whatever your 23 at your tax rate. So if you're at that level, it's a 15% tax break. So you're talking about maybe another, $3,500.
You might save $3,500 in taxes or $5,000.
So it's still costing you out of pocket 20. I'm not saying that to dissuade you, only to point out that there is a cash flow cost to you for that.
Your key is this: can you live on the rest of the money and save that other money to avoid tax? If you can, hallelujah, that's a small... Oh, by the way, even if you set this up and say, take the $23,000 out, that doesn't mean you have to continue taking $23,000 out. Circumstances can occur that you can stop that. You don't have to do it. So I would get with your employer, your HR people, or whoever it is that controls that, and say, hey, take out the maximum until I tell you not to.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, my man. Thank you for calling.
All right.
Yep. Thank you,
caller. Thank you for the information.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of loopholes that allow people to put money aside for retirement. When you're an employee, the 401k is the greatest thing since chocolate.
Oh, I think it's great, particularly if they match.
Oh, boy.
And you should put away the maximum amount to get the maximum match.
So that's only 3%.
Because it's free money.
That's free. That's 100% return the first year. I don't care if it's sitting in a money market account, doesn't get a nickel, you got 100% the first year.
I encourage people to do it.
Yep. And there are other things, though, too, Vince. Like, let's say you're a self-employed person, no employees. Mm-hmm. You've got SEP IRAs, you've got all kinds of different wrinkles that can be set up to, you can put more than normal IRA deduction money.
That's true. It all depends on your income, Joe.
Yeah.
You can set up a SEP if you're an S corporation owner, but then it's based on compensation.
Right.
Or you can do it as a self-employed. You're a Schedule C, you can do it. And it could be, I think the max now is $53,000, I believe.
It's a good chunk of money.
It's up there.
Here's something, folks, that there are, I call them 457, 403B. I mean, there's like 10 different numbers and letters for all of these different approved retirement plans where you can put money aside, and either you can put it into a vehicle that you pay tax on and there's no tax later, which is called a Roth, or you can go into a vehicle where you don't pay tax now, and then when you start taking it out, hopefully you're retired, you're not making large, I'm not saying hopefully you're not making, but probably you're not making large sums of money, you're going to be in a different tax bracket. So the key that you might want to do, anybody that wants information on that, the best thing to do is call the radio station, and not on the air necessarily, because you'd have to talk one-on-one with somebody like Vince so that he can guide you in the right direction based on your individual circumstances.
Right, correct, because everyone is a little different.
Everybody's right? Different.
And their affordability is different, too. As I said to this gentleman, he's going to put 23 in, he might get 35 benefits, so it's costing him 19.5 in cash flow. Can you afford that?
Can he afford to lose that kind of income?
Can you lose that kind of income? Because, yeah, you know, you got to live, too.
But on the other hand, he might have a year or two that he can. And then that, you know, point is, each person is individual, and you have to look at it.
And, you know, if you also look at if you're self-employed or have self-employment income, look at the HSAs, because they're also very good. And very
health savings accounts.
Health savings accounts.
Can you still do that with Uncle Obama?
Yes, you can. And it's a very good plan. It's very good because what it does is it allows you to put money away on pre-tax basis.
However, if he's got an employer with a 401k, he may have a health benefit.
It might already be built into his 120, what they call a 125, following the code section 125, which allows you to do pre-tax.
That's another question. So, caller, remember that part. If you have health insurance, back again, you got to talk to somebody like Vince and find out what your options are for being able to put, we call it tax sheltered money.
What's great about those, Joe, if you have a high deductible plan,
yeah,
and a lot of them, you know, it's like $6,500 a person, you know,
right.
That's a high deductible plan. That allows you to put this money away. It's $3,300 this year for an individual, $66 family. It allows you to, for those small things, you know, you go in the doctor's office and hit you with a $30 copay.
And that's a tax deduction.
Well, yes, it's a tax deduction above the line, Joe.
It's above the line, right off the top.
It's really a beautiful thing.
You just mentioned something about tax sheltered.
Right.
Tax sheltered investments, annuities, debt instruments, any of those things?
Not necessarily, but they can be. If you have an investment that's inside an IRA, a 401k, a 403b, a 457, all of these are tax deferred, meaning you don't pay tax on them now when you put them in there, but you pay tax later when you take it out.
Well, you were talking a couple of weeks back about these debt instruments.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about
that. And if can a person take that debt instrument, put it inside their IRA?
Absolutely.
And then it would be tax deferred.
Yeah. Here's what happens. The government says certain investments are eligible to be put into a retirement plan that you don't pay tax on now, that you pay tax on later. I've heard all kinds of stories, but normally you can't go buy bars of gold and keep them in your closet and consider those part of your retirement plan, because the government says those things have to be somehow or other regulated by a custodian, an outside person. So that custodian has to report to the government exactly what that investment is and is going. So that becomes an IRA, a 401k, or any other numbered or lettered.
That's what you're hearing about the gold IRAs and things like that.
Yeah. Now, you can have, you don't have gold bullion you can handle, but you can invest in gold shares that could be a mutual fund or an ETF, exchange traded fund, or even a stock that's a gold mining company. There's all kinds of vehicles that are approved, but you technically can't put that money in your pocket and play with it and pretend. It usually has to have an outside custodian.
Can't have it in a sack under the bed.
You can do that, but
yeah, you can do it, but it's not going to be tax advantage.
It's not going to be tax advantage, exactly. So,
and it's not considered a part of your retirement investment.
No. Well,
it's really a personal investment. I mean,
you can call it whatever you want, but you're not going to get a tax deduction for it.
And plus, you know, that's a good hedge against inflation.
Kind of, maybe. I kind of get a kick out of it when people say, you know, the world's coming to an end, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to buy gold because there's not going to be any money. And I say, so what are you going to do? So the world comes to an end and there's no more cash. You're going to walk into the grocery store and slice off a piece of your gold bar and buy a loaf of bread? I don't think so. You know, when the world comes to an end, if Pastor Tom and Joe and Vince are the only ones left.
That's the idea that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And that's the idea that's being presented is that.
That's going to be currency. Gold will be currency.
The gold and the silver will be the actual currency.
Was always been currency, but then we got off the gold standard. But point is, then it went to paper. But here's the key. Now you have to mint coins, and somebody has to mint them. And then somebody has to value them. And then somebody has to guarantee the purity of that, because you could be copper covered up with gold, and that's kind of a cheat. So listen, there's no easy rule, but I will tell you this. If the United States of America is gone, God called all of us, and Joe and Vince and Tom, I hate to say it, Tom, you have to stay with us.
My plan is not to do that.
I know. All I'm trying to say is, and I'm joking, folks, but the bottom line is America's not going to go out of business. And if we do, Armageddon hit. It was the end times, and that's just called the way it is. You know, anyway.
Well, bigger troubles then.
Well, maybe not.
Other than your investments in gold.
Yeah, your point, your investments at that time are not going to be very important. 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So Pastor Tom brought up a subject which is called investments.
Did I bring that up?
Can you believe that? Because you were talking about
I was just thinking about debt instruments, the retirement thing, and you mentioned debt instruments.
Literally what happens is there's probably 20,000 different investments approved by the government to go into a retirement plan. And that can be then through an employer. It can be through your own account, which is often called an IRA, or like we were talking, SEP. There's different types of retirement plans if you're self-employed. There's so many different options, and it's impossible to talk about each one without every person is different. And we have another caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. I have a quick question for you. Should be an easy one, I think.
Uh-oh.
My husband will be 70 years old this August, and his 401k, he retired last year, but I know that at 70 and a half, he has to take a distribution from that, correct?
Correct.
And when you take the distribution, is that when the taxes come out? Or I guess he spoke to our tax guy or something. He said, I have another year, and I just want to make sure we don't miss whatever deadline that is that we have to do, you know, take that distribution. It's like 20%, right?
No.
No. If I can just jump in, this is Vince Rossino. How are you, caller? Now, the way that works is once you reach your 70 and a half, the first RMD is required by April 1st of the year following the point that you reach 70.
Now, that's called a required minimum distribution.
Now, the withholding part of it is purely an election on your part. I mean, they'll give it to you, although I recommend it strongly to people when you get these RMDs, have them take some taxes out of it because...
Okay, wait. Going too fast for me.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, if he's going to be 70 in August, then the following April, would have to take it then, or the next April.
No, as soon as he reaches 70 and a half.
And one half.
So that would be February of the following year, right?
So it isn't going to be this year. It'll be next year. Okay, and then by the following April.
Following the point at which you reach 70 and a half, so it'll be April of 2017.
17. You would have to take that distribution. Now, normally, here's the other rule. Except for the first year, and don't listen to that part. You, by December 31st of the year that you turn 70 and a half, by December 31st of that year, you're supposed to take out your required minimum distribution. So most people set it up with whoever's holding the money to automatically calculate it and automatically send them the money and deposit it in your bank account or send you a check on a specified date every year, and to hold taxes or not hold taxes if you prefer on that amount, and they will calculate the exact amount of money you're supposed to get because the government says they have to. Whoever's going to hold your IRA, 401k, any approved retirement plan, they have a responsibility to make sure you take your required minimum distribution and the exact amount, which the first year is a hair less than 4% of the value of the account.
Oh, the first year is, okay, say around estimate 4%. And then after that, it goes up higher every year, or?
Yeah, here's another rule. When you turn 90, it's 10%. So 70 is 4%, 90 is 10%. You're not dead by 115. They want you to take your last dollar. So they increase the amount every single year that you're supposed to take a little tiny bit. Okay?
Okay, so every single year you have to take one of these distributions after once you start it.
That's correct. After age 70 and one half, yes. And unless you decide to die. Then you can quit taking it.
Right. Right.
Hey, caller. Okay.
The other little, just, it's still a little foggy for me. If the rule is you must take it by December 31st of every year that you're 70. And I'm getting December 31st and April mixed up.
Here's what happened. You calculate. It has to be calculated as of December 31st of the year that you have to take the distribution. Then you have to take it sometime during the next calendar year. Makes no difference when. But you have to just do this. Your carrier, whoever has the money, they have to educate you on exactly what your options are. Understand what I'm saying?
Because they'll give it to you in writing.
They'll give it to you in writing, and they will report it to the IRS. Literally, all you have to know is this. The year he turns 70 and one half, you're supposed to take a distribution, and it's going to be based.
So if he's turning 70, 2016, starting in January the following year, that's, or I wait till he's 70, he'll be 70 and a half, let's see, September, October, November, December, January,
Call,
right?
Call, if I could just interrupt a minute. The rule works that the year in which you turn 70 and a half, you have to take that required distribution by April 1st of the following year. That's your very first
just the first year.
But listen carefully. There's a proviso here. The second one must be made by the end of the year. So technically you'd get one by April 1st, being your first one, 2017, followed by your 2017 required distribution, which would have to be made by the end of December. So that very first time you get it, you're going to get two of them. You're going to get one by April 1st, and you're going to get another one by December 31st. So that's very important for you when you do your tax planning with your CPA or your tax preparer. Tell them when you're reaching your 70 and a half points so they can project out into the following year, and so you have the right amount of taxes withheld from your required minimum distributions.
Okay, so you're saying the very first year there'll be two distributions made?
That's correct. There'll be two. You'll get one
April?
April 1, and then December 31st of that year, you'll have your second one.
So your point being is that'll be a lot of extra income.
The first year. Yes, you'll have double. You'll get the double whammy the first year because you'll have two distributions to deal with.
Right, and you know he retired from his, you know, regular paying job, but he is working as a, you know, 4 days a week still, and I'm working full time. So I just, you know, this is kind of scary because it's going to be a lot of money, you know, more income than we normally.
Yes,
you know, this year when we did our taxes this year with him retiring and now he's working 4 days a week somewhere else, we had more money than we've had in the past. You know what I mean? So it's the 401k is just going to be eaten with taxes. I don't know what else, if there's anything else we can do.
You can give the money to WCNO.
You'll get a tax deductible donation.
A tax deduction. I'm sure Pastor Tom can help you with this.
Okay. All right. Well,
she doesn't sound too enthusiastic.
You gave me an answer.
Well, thank you, Cole.
I'm happy for your answer, but now I realize there's going to be two distributions the first year.
Well, hey, at least you know, and believe you me, whoever's holding that money, they're going to have to send you in writing exactly what's going to have to happen, and there's the rules are there, and they have to comply with the rules, and then you automatically will know what to do.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Thank
you.
You're
welcome.
Glad you're listening.
So thank you, caller.
Did you hear that? She said, I was awesome.
There's only one person I know who's awesome.
Well,
they're not in this room.
And that's right. And they're not in this room.
You do remember the last time he's here,
but not.
The last time I walked on water, you remember that time, right?
What's that?
Last time I walked on water?
It was frozen.
You need to get a new line.
I know, but I like it. And just, hey, not every listener has already heard this line. It's just because you guys hear it all the time.
Yes, that's true.
1-888-221-8990. Thank you so much, callers, for those calls. And let me go back to what I started with, which Pastor Tom tried to set me up with debt instruments, which Here's what happens. In the last year, year and a half, I have not been real excited about being in the stock market, because if anybody's noticed, the stock market has not been especially friendly. And there's lots of reasons for it, but forget the reasons. We are not, us specks of sand are really not going to change this whole system quickly. So I predicted that last year would be a flat year, and I predict that this year will be a flat year. And it may be good, it may be bad, but that's my prediction. So what I've said to numerous clients is, hey, let's just get out of the market for a period of time and get into debt instruments. What are debt instruments? I loan Vince Rizzino $10,000. Vince signs a note, and the note says, I'm going to pay Joe monthly, and I'm going to pay him interest, and I will have him paid off within 6 months, 2 years, whatever you agree to. It could be a house note, a mortgage, whatever it might be. So we're going to talk about those in just a minute. In the meantime, we got a caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon.
And how you all doing over there?
Hey, we're
still here.
Pastor Tom wants to choke me, but I'm hiding from him.
I got up on the right side of the grass today, so I'm happy the Lord gave me another day.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Yeah, I must commend you guys for the good work you're doing.
Thank
under
you.
Here.
Thank you so much.
That is so awesome. I have a question in regards to church contributions.
Right.
When it comes to tax, can you explain to the whole nine yard about tax, whether you are required to pay tax on it or whatever contribution you made?
Quickly, well, it's a tax deduction.
It's a tax deduction to a church, an approved, legitimate church, an approved church. Yes, you can. It's normally tax deductible, but it is on Schedule A, which means it gets a little complicated. Your Schedule A deductions are your itemized deductions, and if you're it would be deductible as an itemized deduction if your itemized exceeds your standard. So yes, you can take a deduction for an authentic contribution.
Any money
to a
given
church.
To an approved, what's the number? Five.
501c3. Any church or ministry organization should have a 501c3 tax exempt certificate, and they should provide you with an end of year statement if you request one. Sometimes the church will just automatically give them. Sometimes the church may ask you to request that. But if you make a contribution, and with the contributions, they want to know how much each contribution was and when you gave it. Used to be you just say, well, I gave over the year $1,000 to the church, and you could itemize that as a part of your deductions. Now they want to know on what days you gave it, how much each gift was. Any gift that you give that's over $500, you're supposed to get a receipt immediately.
That's right, exactly.
For it. Here at the station, everyone who makes a contribution to our station, we send them a receipt immediately, whether it's $10 or $1,000, whatever it is.
I don't remember getting a receipt.
Well, you should have gotten one, and I think you did.
You're absolutely right with that, Pastor.
People say, well, is it deductible? Well, it goes into your itemized deductions, and if all of your total itemized deductions, your contributions, your insurance payments, your interest on your home, if all of that exceeds the standard deduction, then it can save you some money on your taxes. If your standard deduction is greater than your itemized deductions, then it's not going to make a difference.
Your tax person, whoever does your taxes, will be able to take and tell you quickly which way to go. But either way, the answer is yes. It is always a tax deduction.
As long as it's a legitimate approved church, 501c3.
Yep. All right. Does that answer that?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You all have a blessed one.
Thank you so much. You too. Thank you for calling. 888-221-8990. Back to a debt instrument.
Are you going to be able to get it out? You've only got about 3 minutes.
Well, if you keep talking, the answer is no.
Well, I'll shut up.
No, you're kidding me. That's be the first time ever. Anyway, so literally what happens with these debt instruments, it's no different than a house note or a house mortgage or a car loan or furniture, whatever it might be. But some of the biggest companies in America, including some of the biggest utilities, have issued these instruments, and they are paying 5 and 6% interest. The interest payments are paid every 3 months. And better news than that is they're 100% liquid. That means you can start it today, and if you want to cash it in tomorrow, you can. Now, quite honestly, that's not the smartest thing to do, because I hate to tell you, people do get paid to help you do these things. So normally you've got to hold them for about 6 months to make it pay, so you're doing better than the bank. But I consider it a great short-term investment where you can earn 5 and 6% interest on your money, and there's more little tiny things. That's the good news. Some of the bad news, which is not bad, is these have call dates, meaning that they have the ability to tell you to take your money and leave, give you your money back. The call dates that I actually show people today that I recommend are out 2 to 4 years from now. So the call dates can be 18, 19, 20, 21, depending on whichever one it is. So in the meantime, you collect interest. In the meantime, if you want to cash them in anytime, you can. They're 100% liquid. They're traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Let me mention before we're done that not only is Vince Rizzino CPA here, but Joe Martek financial advisor, but we also have an attorney, Greg Fasula, who's a critical part of the group, because when it comes to estate planning, which means wills and trusts, this man knows his stuff, and he doesn't do fluff. He does stuff that's important. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. The word independent today is a monster word for me, because he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client, and he's got 80 to 100 different companies that he can shop for people to get him the best deal. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, real estate. Only been in the real estate business since 1980. And being only 30 years old, that's tough for her to do. But hardest working person alive, and she knows every inch in these two counties, Martin and St. Lucie, and a bit of pour over into a couple, three other counties from Okeechobee to Palm Beach to Indian River. Mike Polis, mortgage broker, who, I'll tell you what Mike has been able to do to help people is just staggering, from reverse mortgages to no money down.
Mike knows his stuff. I sent my daughter and son-in-law over to him, and he called him right away, and he's doing a good job for them.
I will tell you, this the mortgage business, a lot of people think it's hard. What Mike will do, as opposed to walking in the door to a bank, you'll know within 15 minutes of talking to Mike what you can qualify for. I mean, he doesn't take 2-3 weeks to tell you what's going on. So the name of our group is Team Martek, and what it's here to do is to help you in different areas, and we've put together, in my humble opinion, a group of local professionals that have all been in business for many, many, many years, that all hope to die here, not necessarily soon, but that all live and work here. And by the way, we don't share office space. We don't share commissions or fees. The object was for me to put together what I consider the premier group of local professionals that are here to help people. And everyone in this group will help you, number one. They're not looking to just make a buck. Anyway, Pastor Tom says we got 15, 10, 9, 8 seconds left, so I'm going to say goodbye. And until next week, thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Polis with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.
forever, for his promises fulfilled, for his grace beyond all measure.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City.